Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the King, and from Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Beth pointed this out to me. I say Thanksgiving. Most people say Thanksgiving. I got that from my mom. Whichever way, it's the giving of thanks to God. Amen. This is what we're going to talk about today, especially developing the habit of giving thanks at all times, in all things, to our God who gives us everything good to enjoy. Do you think that we neglect that sometimes and forget to give thanks to God? I think it happens all the time. And in fact, that's a very horrible thing, really, because it's ungrateful. It's God's due that we give him thanks. And it completes this wonderful relationship where God gives to us, we return to him thanks. Besides that, we all have a lot of negative thoughts. Do you think you have a lot of negative thoughts as you go through your life each day? I saw this not long ago that researchers said you have like 60,000 thoughts in a day. How they figured that out, I don't know. But they say 90% of those thoughts are the thoughts you had yesterday. You're thinking them again today. And 80% of those thoughts are negative, which means 45,000 thoughts a day that we think usually are negative. How do you think this would change us if we did what God commanded us in Scripture, to give thanks at all times and all circumstances? What might that do to your mind, to the brightness of your vision and face, to your life, to the health of your body, if you return to God the thanks that's due to his righteousness? So let's talk today about the giving of thanks to God, what God teaches us in his word about giving thanks to him so that we can be refreshed in his truth, which you already know, but we'll be refreshed in it. And secondly, that we can have a new start today for a heart habit of giving thanks all day long for the rest of our lives. Would you like to start a new habit like that with me today? Well, let's take a look and see what God teaches us about giving thanks in his holy word, the scriptures. And I'd like to look at that gospel lesson that we read a moment ago, and I'd like to refresh you in it again here. Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him what? Thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way, and your faith has made you well." God has some real gems and secrets of the kingdom to teach us in this event. What do we learn here from God about giving thanks? Let's just go through it in a little more detail. I'm going to give you a quiz. You ready? You a little nervous? How many lepers were there in this passage? 10 to start out. 10 diseased people, and that was a horrible disease to have. The word leprosy in Hebrew is sarath, which means a smiting or a blow. It was seen by the Jews as an infliction of God of judgment upon you if you had this disease. That was horrible. And it was very, very bad. I'll read you what a commentary says. "It begins with specks in your eyelids and on your palms, gradually spreading over your whole body, bleaching your hair white." No, you don't have leprosy if your hair is white. But you did in this case. All right? "And then crusting, affecting parts your body with white scales, causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal." Does that sound like something you want to sign up for? They were in a horrible situation, these 10 lepers, a horrible disease, and that wasn't the end of their woes. Because we read here in this passage that they called to Jesus standing at a distance. Why did they call out to him from a distance instead of run over to him? That's the second quiz question. Yeah, I can't understand what you're saying, but that's all right. I'm sure you were correct. But that's from the Jewish law, because we read here in Numbers chapter 5, the Lord said to Moses, command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that's unclean through contact with the dead. You shall put both male and female, putting them outside the camp, that they may not defile the camp in the midst of which I dwell. So lepers in those days, you were not only afflicted with a dread disease, but you were an outcast. You were separated from the society and the community. You were lonely. You were very lonely. You're out there with just some other diseased people. You can't go in with your family and friends. How horrible a situation they were in. Very, very painful. But we see that they asked something of Jesus here. What did they ask? That's question three. Jesus, Master, which means person of high standing, Lord, have mercy upon us. And that word in the Greek is eliao, which means to show kindness or concern for someone in a serious need. Jesus, look down from your high position upon us who are in a terrible plight and show mercy upon us. Jesus, have mercy, they cry from a distance. Deliver us from our great troubles and dire situation. So question four, what did Jesus do? It says, when he saw them, he said to them, probably called to them at a distance, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, why would he say that? Why didn't he just say, be healed like everybody else? Go show yourselves to the priests. This, again, is Jewish law. If you look over here at chapter 13, when someone had leprosy, he was to go and show himself to the priest, and the priest shall make an examination. And if the eruption has spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's leprosy. Okay, so the priest is the examiner, the tester. But if the raw flesh turns again and is changed to white, then he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And if the disease has turned white, the priest then shall pronounce the diseased person clean. He is clean. So Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. Why? You're going to be cleansed on the way. And when you get there, the priest shall examine you, declare you ritually clean of your disease, and you can enter back into society. So Jesus is saying here by those words, you will be cleansed. Go show yourselves to the priest. And indeed, were they cleansed? As they're walking along the road on their way to the priest, they look, and all of a sudden, their bodies are fresh like newly driven snow. Just beautifully, actually, like a baby's flesh, just clean and white and healed. And they rejoiced. They went on their way. But what did the nine do? Next question. They went on their way, continued on their way to the priests. So joyous that they're healed, but they did what? What didn't they do? They didn't turn around and give thanks. Their first thought was for their healing, their joy, and getting back into the community. But what did the one do, the Samaritan? It says, then one of the ten, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. So when this one, the Samaritan, turned around, what do you think that looked like? Can you picture it in your mind? He's like, oh, I'm healed. He turns around and strolls back to Jesus and gives him thanks. Is that what happened? What do you picture here? I'm healed. Jesus, and he quickly spins. He wheels himself about, and he didn't walk there, I'm sure. Although it doesn't say in Scripture, this man sprinted. He ran at full strength and speed, throwing himself on the dust at the feet and the sandals of the Lord, crying out to him, Jesus, Jesus, you had mercy on me. Thank you. So how's he different from the nine? Their first thought was for their disease. They're happy they're getting back into society. Their body's good. His first thought was for the gift giver. Amen? His first thought was for the gift giver. Yes, I'm healed. Hooray. I'm going to go back into society. But Jesus, he had mercy on me. a sinner, a horrible man afflicted by God, he had mercy on poor me, sinful me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it says he praised God with a loud voice. What do you think that sounds like? Whoa! Right? It wasn't like, Jesus, hey. This guy was filled with the joy of the Lord. It's called faith. And true faith, true saving faith, is naturally this. It expresses itself in thanksgiving. It doesn't just rejoice at the gift, which is great, but first in the gift giver. And I want to ask you, how about you? When God blesses you, answers your prayers, or delivers you, or gives you answers or blessings where you didn't even ask, do you wheel about, sprint to him, thinking first on the gift giver and say, whoa, Jesus, you had mercy on me? On me? Jesus, I worship you. I thank you. That's beautiful. That's what God wants. That's what completes the circle, right? When God is a gift giver and he gives to us all things, especially redemption in Jesus, the thing that completes this is he gives to you and you return to him in the circle, thanksgiving, back up to him. And that makes a beautiful relationship, amen? If we don't do that, how rude, how selfish, how ungrateful, how insulting, how evil if we don't return. That's why Jesus marveled, it says here. He marveled. Were not tens cleansed? Where are the nine? In other words, God expects a man to return. Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? In other words, the others were Jews. They should have known. They were close to God. They should have known the right thing to do was to return and give thanks. But this foreigner, who shouldn't have known, knew. And he says, you should go and do likewise. You should put this into your heart. It is God's due. Not to give thanks shows something is wrong and amiss, and it's highly approved of by God when we return and worship the gift giver. So I'm going to ask you, what do we learn about ourselves and the world from this passage? Well, 9 out of 10 people or more don't return and give thanks to God, correct? Most of the world, more than 9 out of 10 probably. And 9 out of 10 times we probably forget to give thanks to God. Not that God's setting up percentages here in the word, but the point is that most people, and even we, forget. We neglect. It passes out of mind to return and give thanks to God for all that he's given to us. Today is what day? Thanksgiving. The day when we give thanks to God with contentment for all the wonderful gifts that he's given to us. Followed immediately hard on the heels by Black Friday, where we rush out in a mad dash to trample over our fellow man to get all the things that we don't have in greed, right? At a low price. You can do that, all right, but just give thanks to God about it. But how rude it is not to return God thanksgiving. It completes the circle. Say circle, if you would. Circle. Circle. The circle, this beautiful circle of a relationship with God. He gives to you. You return to him praise. He gives to you. You return to him thanks. And really, if you think of it, our whole Christian life, all it is thanksgiving. When you give an offering, you're giving it out of what he's given to you, out of thanks. When you serve, it's out of thanksgiving. When you give praise, it's out of thanksgiving. When you lay down your life for others, it's out of thanksgiving because he laid down his life for you. Amen? So the whole life of a Christian really is just simply this. Thank you to God. And this man who returned and gave thanks to God got a special blessing that the others didn't get. They were all on their way off at McDonald's or something, but this man came to Jesus, falling at his feet. And Jesus said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, the others didn't get that blessing, did they? What does that mean? Your faith has made you well. The others were cleansed. The word in the Greek is katharizo, like cathartic. It means to be cleansed or richly purified. Their bodily disease was removed. But this man got a better blessing. He says, your faith has made you well. The word in the Greek is sozo, which means It has delivered you. It has made you whole, preserved you from ultimate destruction. The word really means to save. Your faith has saved you. In other words, the other guys, they were healed of their bodily disease. They could enter into society. But this man was healed of an inward disease. He was now right with God and saved through faith. And this faith that's saving expresses itself in thank you. It's God's due. It's the beautiful circle of our relationship with him. And guess what this would do if you developed this habit in your life? How many thoughts do you have in a day? 60,000. 90% are the thoughts you had yesterday. Nothing new here. You're just going along mental highways. 80% of those thoughts are negative. 45,000 negative thoughts a day. What do you think if we develop a heart habit of just thank God, thank you, 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 God, through life, and all of a sudden, those 45,000 negative thoughts turns to praise to God. What is that going to do to your body? Making it bright. What is it going to do to your minds? What is it going to do to the complexion of your face, making you shine like an angel, like the Son of God, looking like Jesus? Because Jesus is the ultimate one who gave thanks to God. How might that change us? I want to ask you a question. What can you ultimately offer to God? Think about this verse from Psalm 50. God says, every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. What are you going to give to the God who has everything? Can you give him goods? Answer, no. Can you give him the sun? No. Can you give him the moon and the stars? He owns all these things. What are you going to give to him? You can't give him any goods. Can you give him your righteousness for salvation? Well, we read here in Isaiah 64, we've all become like one who's unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Is that what you're going to give to God? A filthy rag? No, you can't save yourself by that, by your own. But God gives to you your body and all you need. He's not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since God gives to all men life and breath and everything. Go like this. Do you know God gave you that breath? He gives the life, men all life and breath and everything. He just gave you that breath. Give him thanks. Breathe in his blessing. Breathe out, thank you. Breathe in his blessing. Breathe out, thank you, God, for this breath. And as for righteousness for salvation, we're all foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and evil, hated by men and hating one another. We can't save ourselves. But what God gives you is his righteousness. He saved us not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life, the saying is sure. Can you breathe in his righteousness right now? It clothes you through faith, the free gift of righteousness. Breathe it in, cover it. He's covered me with the robes of righteousness, the garments of salvation. Therefore, I return to you. Thank you, God. Praise to you. You've covered me in the salvation of Christ who died and rose for me. So offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. And God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. You shall glorify me. He who brings thanksgiving as a sacrifice honors me. If you want to bring something to God, bring that. And he who, to him who orders his way aright, I'll show the salvation of God. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in, who knows it, all circumstances, good and bad, happy days and sad days. You start praising God, and it's going to turn your day into sunshine because it is completing the beautiful circle of life. God giving to you, you returning thanks. And that's ultimately all we can ever give him because he owns everything. Give him thanks and he is pleased peaches, overjoyed, delighting in the relationship he has with you through Christ. And so let's do that right now. You're going to develop a heart habit for the rest of this day. Give him thanks. Write down the things you're genuinely thankful to God for. And I'll just give you some of them right now as I conclude. God, I thank you. We thank you together that you've made us. You've made all the animals and creatures of the world. You've given us our eyes and ears, our bodies, our house, our home, wives. Well, one wife, hopefully. Children, and all our goods. And you daily and richly take care of me. You daily and provide for me. And you do this out of a fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any worthiness in me. Thank you, God, for this. And that when I was lost and condemned sinner, God, you sent Jesus and redeemed me. Not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with his precious blood, you saved me. Thank you, God. I wheel around and praise you with a loud voice. And God, I couldn't receive this salvation by myself, by my own power and strength and reason. No, God, you, in your mercy, sent the Holy Spirit. And he's now made my mind bright with faith that I can see Jesus as my Savior, receive him, and that salvation daily, richly forgives me all of my sins. And the Holy Spirit promises to raise me up on the last day to live forever in his kingdom with you. Whoa! Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us and always do in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.